Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, but I'm party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck South Studios with my co-host, the wonderful Josh Webb. Got a special guest that joins us every spring, right at the opening of turkey season. Yout, yout himself, Mr. David Ellis. Guys, how are y'all?
All right.
Well, I hadn't heard enough of that. But, yeah, I'm good. I'll tell you, you know, Rocky, we're pushing a week into, not quite a week, 5 or 6 days into season. And you know, we've been trying for 2 weeks now to wrangle y'all. I mean, I even went as far as, and I told him, and I wasn't lying about it. I got online and bought a y'all call so I could, you know, help pay his phone bill and get him on here for a little bit. And we finally got him. And, you know, and so, I mean, I was running out of money pretty quick. I bought one a day for like a week trying to get him on here.
Well, I told him don't send my check. I told him don't send my check half the season. So.
Oh, well.
So I don't get no notifications yet. I'll let
David G, man, no. But, no, go ahead.
All it took me to get on here today was my kid got a cough and fever, so he out of school. So, you know, being turkey hunting,
yeah,
I figured I'd stay
right home
with him, you know, be that good dad.
Yeah, my kid's got a fever right here in turkey season. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. David is officially the first paid guest on the End of the Line podcast.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
But, you know, I mean...
next thing you know, you'll be charged as much as Duck Commander to show up.
Well, you know, I mean, right now, I done moved up from just the ramen noodles to the ramen noodle sandwiches. So, you know, I'm climbing.
Do those come with like an extra flavor packet? I had never got to that part. Man.
They should come with 2 packs.
But you have been, I mean, really, in all seriousness, you have been extremely busy with, I mean, not just work, but a lot of the things you got going on with the brand and stuff like that.
That's right, man. It's coming along. Like I said, it's slower than what I was expecting, but, you know, I didn't know what was all the industry involved. But I tell you, this year has been hammering. You know, I get to talk and go places and, you know, meet and greet, and people want to meet and greet me, and people know who you are when you get there. So, it's been fun, and then get to kind of, you know, testify a little bit, you know, my testimony, where I come from, where I grew up, and, you know, these people want to hear it, you know. That's the main thing, they want to hear it. Around here in town, I don't nobody want to hear that.
they've known you long enough. No, yeah. But, well, it's really cool. I think Rocky and I were talking about it a couple of days ago. I guess here recently, you were over in somewhere in Arkansas speaking.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was, or Missouri. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, Arkansas. I did 3 events over in Arkansas in 1 week. And,
okay.
It was cool. Could tell you a little bit about that. You know, it was three church events. And usually I've done a few church events, and they always, you know, all they're looking for is entertainment, the ones I've done before. Well, the ones that been calling, I've had probably 7, 8, maybe a dozen churches call and say, hey, we'd like to have you come speak, because, you know, I kind of tell my faith and, you know, God is good, you know, trust in Jesus kind of stuff. Well, these churches started calling about, hey, could you come speak or come preach or whatever you want to call it. I'm like, well, you know, that ain't me. So I would turn them down. You know, I'm like, that ain't me. I tell you, God is good. You know, I want 10 million people to hear that, but, you know, I can't quote a lot of scripture. So I had these churches call me, and I said, yeah, I'll come entertain. They said, okay, good. And I had another church call. Hey, yeah, I'll come entertain. Well, then another church called. I then got caught up in the rap. Well, I'm going to come entertain. So I pull up there over in Arkansas, the first event. I'm over there, and it's about 300 people going to be there. And I'm up in the loft of this church. I'm there about 3 hours early. And so I sit up there, and the preacher comes up there to talk to me. He said, so, how long you been preaching? I said,
Funny you ask.
Yeah, I said, we got a misunderstanding. I was like, you might want your money back. I was like, I don't preach. I was like, oh, boy. So anyway, it hit me hard right then. He said, well, we got a bunch of people coming, and they ready to hear the word. And I was like, all right. And I said, I don't know. So I called my buddy, and this we called his wife Mama Jesus. I said, you tell Mama Jesus to get in at that coffee table and get to praying right now, because David Ellis don't know what he's going to talk about. Oh, boy. So I got in there, man. I went up to the loft. I got laid up in the loft, and I got my Bible, and I had 3 hours before the thing started, and I got in there, and I laid down on that old couch ahead. I just cut the lights off for a minute. Anyway, 2 hours later, I woke up. So I had an hour now to get ready. The Lord knew. He knew I needed a little rest. You hear me? So I woke up and just, yeah, it was bad. I was really stressed. I just got up there and I said, well, I got an hour. So I opened up the Bible and really wasn't looking for a scripture. Just reading, just hoping, you know, something would come to me. In which way it, So I'm going through a divorce now, and a lot of people don't know that. I hadn't made it public. So I was like, you know what? It's time for people to hear what I really got going on, what I'm really putting on the, you know, I'm putting on a show. I'm showing positivity, but you don't ever know what's behind a man's smile, you know, what's going on in real life. So I said, you know, this is a good opportunity to tell people it don't matter what you're going through, you know, what you've been through, whether it's your fault, their fault, or whatever, and we're going to just, you know, get it out. And, man, when I did that, man, a relief come over me. It felt good in there. Next thing I know, I got 300 people standing on their feet, cheering and carrying on, and I felt good about myself and what I just spread, a testimony for these guys and girls that were still going through the same thing or some of the same things I was going through. So I was still relating to these people, you know, and just in a deeper way. And then I just started going through their story. So then it went from, you know, a low to a high, and sure, and next thing I know, I'm hit another church, you know, and hit another church, and it just felt good, you know, because some people, they don't need all that preaching. They just need you to speak and relate and have a good time and understand that everybody's got problems. You know, it's just how you handle them, you know.
I think that's one of the, you know, some of the, I won't say sermons, but definitely some of the bigger sermons or speeches, wherever, you know, however you want to put it, that have stuck with me all my life are the ones that were more like that. I don't want to say they're not all real, but not where you necessarily, whoever's up there speaking is speaking over your head. And they may only be, you know, it may only really hit one or two people in the crowd, but that's what you're there for anyway. You're not there to try
that's
to,
right.
you know,
that's
but,
right.
but I think that's a, well, and that speaks to you a whole lot, of knowing how important that is. You just don't really know, you know, Troy, you know, Rocky, that's what, you know, Troy talked about a lot with us when Troy was going through some tough stuff for a long time. And when Troy started really just pouring his heart out about what was going on with him, that's when he started seeing a whole lot more people really paying attention to what he was saying, connecting with what he was saying. More people wanted him to come speak because he was, you know, he wasn't just there. You know, the only term into my mind is, you know, speaking over people's head. He was speaking to people. In other words,
that's right.
Well, what's happening? Go ahead, Rocky.
Y'all, I want to talk about something today. The climb. You know, last year at this same point, we talked about how far you come in the industry, and man, you keep working your way to the top. I know you don't want to talk about that a lot, but I think that people don't understand how hard that climb is in this industry. And I think that you are one of the probably the best people to talk about it, because you're kind of that self-made millionaire. I know you're not a millionaire in dollar sales, but you're that self-made millionaire that worked hard to get where you're at. You weren't born into the Realtree family.
Right. It wasn't. It's been a struggle, because everybody, and how do you say it? You know, when you jump out there and you're just old country boy that ain't got but 200 friends on your social media, next thing you know, you jump up there and you're the new thing for the season, and then you're like, wow, okay, well, I'm going to make money. I am going to do this. You know, even though I really wasn't looking for it, in a sense I was, but, you know, I really wasn't looking for it. So, and then the next season comes along and you didn't really make no money. You know, you're still having a good time with it. Next season comes, but you're doing more with more people, but it still takes a lot more than what you give the previous year. So still didn't make no money. So this year I was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to push my brand, and I'm going to push for the people that support me. And I'm not trying to push everybody else or, you know, and still not be anything. So this year is my first year trying to monetize anything, you know, and I still feel guilty about it. I hate charging when I go speak. I hate charging for a turkey call. You know, the reason I got them being made, and they're great because my Hound Tooth, you know, Hound Tooth helps me with that and everything, but I don't even have them shipped to me to ship them out, because they know I give them all away. If somebody says, can I have one? Sure, you can have one. I give them all away, but the climb is hard. People think that you just because you hit views that you're going to be somebody. You're not. You got to figure out how to keep going with it. You know, I'm the y'all and the turkey, and it's a turkey hunting specialist, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it, but, you know, it's, I mean, I've been known for catching more hogs now than I am the turkeys, you know. So we just kind of, you got to keep finding something to go along with it. And my biggest thing is just being relatable to the people, you know, that want to be, that I can relate to, you know, whether it be fishing or trapping, hunting. My boy's baseball, you know, the baseball dad, you know. So now, you know, now I'm a single dad. I'm going to have me a shirt that says my boy's a baller and I'm single. So I'm going to wear it to the ball game.
Hey, y'all, let me ask you this. Was there ever a point when you were sitting, let's back up over the past 2 years. That's the best way to keep track of this. You've been on the podcast past 2 years in spring. You know, that first year, man, that was when you were really exploding. The second year, you've been, you know, the mushroom was mushroomed out.
Yeah,
you're still on fire, burning everything up. Let me ask you something. When you got to that point between last year and this year, as you sat in people's offices, you knew the strength that the Yacht had as pertaining to turkey hunting. And when some of these people talked about, and I'm not talking about churches speaking or anything like that, but representing a brand.
Yeah.
Did it ever disappoint you when they came across the table with a number, and I'm not asking for a finite example.
No. Sometimes it'd be like, I mean, I've turned down a lot just because I didn't feel like that number was good enough to me to try to sell something or try to, you know, and I was just like, I just didn't keep doing it for free than do it for that. You know, and a lot of people would be on the floor begging for that money. But I just don't care about money, you know. But sometimes, I mean, you know, I gave a fellow one time. He said, "What did it take?" You know, it was a pretty big company. He's like, "What will it take for you to quit your job, do this, brand us, make us who we are?" I told him $2 million. He said, "I don't believe we can get along." I said, "I didn't figure we could, but I can't quit my job. I got 19 years, and I'm almost for state retirement, baby." It's just, I mean, a lot of people think you're going to, I think from what I'm learning, because I hadn't been in this industry, and I really wouldn't, I'll be honest with you, I still don't call myself in this industry. And the only reason I don't is because I don't make a living at it. So
your personality, though.
Yeah. So I just see a lot of people that think, if we don't want to hear, those big contracts are over. You know, when you used to get $25,000 or whatever to promote this brand. And that's what everybody tried to get me to jump on. Well, it wasn't there, but then I started realizing I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want my social media to be, hey, let's represent this product. I didn't want to kill a deer with a bow and had to push that bow. I just wanted to hunt, you know. And since I got my trademark and patent, the yacht or whatever, whatever you want to call it, And now it's like, you know what? I just want to take some product, put my brand on it, and I'm going to let the people that support me buy. I'm not pushing all the people out here that don't even know who I am. I just want the 100-something thousand to follow me. If I can get 10% of them to buy, you know, that'd be great. And then I turn around and give back. Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, I catch a lot of hate when people say, I've done this, I've done this. But I'm not bragging. I'm more or less telling what the Lord has helped me do. I've done all of this, whether it be feeding the community, box fans in the summertime, without a dime. You know, so sometimes I think, well, if I can push my brand, if people can support me with financially by buying my product, if the Lord's letting me do all of this without a dime, what if they support me and then I got money to back myself instead of trying to take money from a product sponsor and then trying to push it, you know, and kind of being pimped out for product, I guess what I'm saying. So I'm hoping that, you know, people support me just like y'all did, buying a call. You know, I'll take my little old percentage, go out here, and then hopefully, you know, 1,000, 10,000 people buy, and then next thing you know, I can help the community, my community more, you know, financially. And I just hope I can. But, yeah, it's been a lot of people come at me with money. Hey, we'll pay you this, we'll pay you that. If it don't directly deal with me, like trapping, you know, turkey hunting, if it don't directly deal with something I do, I've turned down a lot just because there's no way that I can be relatable to somebody, you know. Everybody knows I trap hogs. I got a $10,000 setup. Ain't nobody going to buy that $10,000 setup. But you know what they'll do? They'll go out there and support me by buying that hog shine lure and helping you get them hogs drawn in a little bit better, because it's just like a steak. A steak sitting on the counter, your neighbor ain't going to smell it. You put it on the grill, here a little fat tail comes off there.
Yep.
What you doing, buddy?
That's the truth.
So, you know, if I can get somebody to spend that $10, support me, we're going to, you know, that's the way I see it. And I'm just lucky enough to have a brand. You know, I always go back to, don't let me talk too much, but I always go back to, like, you know, Bone Collector is a big brand. I mean, you're buying that brand. He's putting it on product, you know, and I'm hoping that one day, hey, if you're wanting a cooler and it's got my name on it, you know, I want you buying that cooler because it's got my name on it, if you want that, if you want a cooler, you know. But the same way with turkey calls or whatever. Just hopefully you're supporting me because you like me, you know. So we'll see. We'll see.
I like that, y'all. Hey, I want you to buy this cooler, but you kind of like that salesman on Andy Griffith. You remember that particular Andy Griffith I'm talking about? Now, are you sure you want to buy this hat? You got the money to buy this hat? You remember that Andy Griffith?
If you got the money to buy it, if you want to buy it, I'm sure you buy it with the yacht on it, you know.
Just take it. I'll give it to you.
That's right. That's why they won't give me nothing. They won't let me have nothing. They're like, you want the hat? They were like, I was like, let me get a few hats. No, nope, you'll give them away. we're trying to make money here. Stupid investors.
I think that's the best way to look at it. Instead of, I don't know, man, I think you get to a point when you're pimping, like you say, somebody else's product, you grow tired of it.
You just do it.
You can even see it in some of these guys' faces that are hunting on TV. You know, we really love example A using it today. It was great.
Right.
Did a good job.
That's right. Yeah.
But if you're pushing something you believe in, it's easy to talk about.
That's right. I did a video yesterday about Harry Potter, me running my slate call. You know, me being like Harry Potter with the magic of this striker, you know, and just simple stuff, but I'm pushing myself. You know, I'm trying to be silly or trying to be entertaining for myself, not to get your views on somebody else, you know, and that's just the way I'm going to try to make it. Everybody don't have a brand. You know, I just, when I was in Nashville, oh my God, everybody's like, yo, yo, you know, just holler across. Well, I mean, people are not going to be hollering. Hey, man, you know what I mean? It's not catchy, you know, but you holler, y'all like it to gobble, I can holler back, you know, just stuff like that. So it's catchy. I like it, you know. We had a yawp yawp chant at the Aaron Lewis private concert, you know, had to shut it down for a little bit.
I guess this year's first year, I didn't go to Nashville, but the last year, Rocky said, did you see David? I said, yeah, I did. You talked to him? I said, no. Why not?
I said, man, he had too much going on. I'd catch him at home, man. He
that's right,
everywhere
that's right.
He every, I said, everywhere you turn, it was, hey, y'all. I said, I'll catch him at home. We'll go eat lunch. I said, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see that and see it all just from a distance, the way it all is, you know, it's all taking place, you know, through the last 2 or 3 years. And I know you got the turkey calls where you brand on it now. Is it anything else coming
we got the coolers coming. I just been slacking on my end, just because I really just want to push these calls first, because I'm going to tell you something. If I can't sell turkey calls, ain't nothing else with my name on it going to sell. I didn't want to go out there with these coolers, these Yeti-looking coolers. And they built the same, you know, I'm just going to sell them about $200 cheaper than what Yeti does, but, you know, and just put my brand on it. But I just, you know, I'm just pushing. I'm like I ain't even the Walmart brand. I'm down there with the Dollar General, you know. You know, I'm just kind of, it's a great cooler, though. It's a great cooler, though.
The Dollar General.
That
was good.
It's fun, though, man. It's fun. That's what, every time I see my name on something, somebody's like, hey, we got this product. Would you be interested? Yeah, I think I would be interested. But instead of it saying, da 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 da, I won't take your name off of it. I'm going to put my logo on it, you know. And then they're like, you know what, we can do that. So, you know, it's just cool. And that's what, you know, you look at, a lot of people say, you know, are you trying to copy somebody? No, I just look at people, certain people in the industry, and if they got a brand and they're putting it, that's kind of how I want to do it. So, we're going to try it. You know, we got the, like I said, we got the mouth calls, we got the coolers coming. I'm supposed to have I don't know if anybody's interested in this, but I'm going to have a ringtone where it's going to be for your hunting buddy. You know, if you got, like y'all two, y'all, you know, one another, you can have, you know, just on your phone ring,
yeah.
You know what it is. You know, so, yeah. That little app, you know, 99 cents, something like that. And then, you know, hopefully, you know, 100,000 people buy it.
You know,
if they don't, oh well, I only spent $35 to get it done. So,
yo. Hey, so Josh sent me a text while I was on there. He said, man, that's a catchphrase for that cooler. Like a Yeti, but cheaper.
Cheaper. That's right. I'm telling you, man. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I'm able to sell it like that. You know what I mean? Oh, and I get, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm excited about pushing my brand. At the same time, I'm humble enough to know that if I try to get too cocky or too up there, the Lord, you know, he kick you out underneath your feet, you know, so I'm always just scared, you know. I'm a God-fearing man. I'm always scared. Like when I walk out the house, what did I do in my sleep last night? I don't remember. You know, like I walk in my truck, you know, Lord forgive me if I did something wrong. Oh.
All right, so y'all, I got a turkey hunting story to tell you. Let's talk a little turkey hunting because you'll enjoy this. Y'all, what's the most fearful words that you'll ever hear from a landowner where you're hunting? Most feared words.
Fear words, you can't hunt. Oh, hey, you.
Yeah.
Hey, you.
Oh, that is Rocky, the most feared words.
Rocky got a really unsettling phone call from a landowner a couple days ago, I guess it was.
So, this guy, he and I, we duck hunt. He's probably going to hear this podcast. He don't care. We'll laugh about it. But I was over there this past weekend, just went to see if I could hear something. Look, it's not going to get crazy up here until 25th of March, 30th
right.
of March. I mean, where it's really on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled up to the shop, tell them what was going on. And in the past, nobody in his family or friends turkey hunting. He's had one group of people he played college baseball with that come in for about 2 or 3 days. They turkey hunt, and they're gone. Got it back to my own again. And it's always, you know, we duck hunted together, I turkey hunt. And vice versa, I give, you know, it's a lot of fun. We got a great relationship. Well, the most dreaded words that I ever got Sunday morning. So he's had some family members that are starting to bring customers in to turkey hunt.
Uh-oh.
And look, they've got
8 or 10,000 acres. It's not like we're going to be running up on each other.
Right.
But I got the most dreaded words ever. He said, call me if you're going to come. I'm like, oh, man. Listen, I know that there's worse words in the turkey hunting world. You can't come back. That is bad. But when you get to call me if you're coming, look, there's a lot of mornings. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I say, I'm going.
That's right.
You want me to call you at 4? I'll call you at 4, brother.
And that's going to end. Yeah, it's going to be. Well, just don't worry about coming back because I can't have a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
I got 50 acres left, you know, and I ain't scared to talk about anything. I'm going to tell you something. Going through what I'm going through in my personal life, and, you know, I just wanted to know I didn't do anything wrong. It's just one of the situations where you wake up and somebody didn't want to be married no more. You know, it takes two to say I do and one to say I don't. And you want to, you know, so now I'm down to 50 acres, you know. So all the land I ever had was in the other side of the family. So when grandma passed away, everything got sold and everybody took their money and run. So now I'm down to 50 acres. I took that lady, her 12-pack of Coors Light the other day. I said, here's my land lease. She said, baby, I so appreciate it. She said, how many more are you going to bring? I said, well, this is the lease. I said, this is the 12-pack to get the lease. And I said, I hope I bring you 6 more because I'm going to kill 3 and my boy's going to kill 3.
and that's something, you know, talking about that. That's something Rocky and I got to talk about the other day is it's always funny to hear people, you know, because a lot of people hunt on handshake agreements. I do. I got a place or two that
that's
I
right,
do.
That's right.
But I still always try to do a little bit extra, whether it's, you know, maybe they deer hunt their place, but they don't turkey hunt. They let us turkey hunt. Well, they don't ask for anything, but I help them food plot seed or whatever for their deer hunt stuff, whatever. Just, they don't ask for it, but I like to have a little bit extra in there. And I was telling Rocky a couple, it's been 5 or 6 years ago, there was this place, and forever, as long as I've been alive, this pasture has always had turkeys in it, and didn't ever cross my mind to be crazy enough to ask for permission to hunt it, because I mean, it's right there on the side of the highway. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it's there. Somebody's got to be turkey hunting it. Well, anyway, one day I pulled up there and talked to the guy, and he said, you know, we talked for a long time, and I finally brought up turkey hunting, and me and my wife there together. He said, yeah, that's fine. Just when you go, park at that gate down there. And he turned around and pointed to it from his house. He said, because I go through this gate right across from my house to feed my cows and donkey stuff in the morning. He said, and don't worry about me being on the tractor. It don't bother those turkeys, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, that's fine. That was like the day before youth season opened up that year. Well, the next day, we went listening that morning on the place and just rode through there, see what was out in the pasture. Well, there was a truck sitting up there at the fella's house. I knew the truck. I said, wonder what he's doing. I called him. What are you doing? He said, oh, I've got so-and-so with him, which is a friend of ours, kid. He said, we saw them turkeys out there, and we pulled up here to ask for permission. I didn't say anything about it. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we maybe come back by about 20 minutes later. Well, they parked down there at that gate, and they walking out there to go after a turkey with that little boy. I said, okay. I said, that ain't no big deal. It's youth season. Bunch of turkeys out there. I don't care. Let the kid kill a deer, you know, kill a turkey, whatever. Well,
right.
The kid did. Killed a turkey. That's fine and good. Yeah, well, the next week, opening week of turkey season, we were going to be out of town hunting, and we're going to hunt where we were, and my buddy asked, he said, we had talked about it between those two time frames, and I said, yeah. I said, he gave us permission to hunt it. He said, well, heck, he told me to come back anytime I wanted to. I said, man. I said, this is going to turn out to be a nightmare. I said, there's no telling who he is told can go turkey hunting down there.
Right.
And he said, well, I'm going to go. He said, I'm going to pull in there at that gate opening morning, and just to see. I said, that's fine, you know, whatever, you know. And he pulled in there. I didn't hear anything out of him until about 9 o'clock that morning. He sent me a picture of two dead turkeys. I said, he said, well, look, he said, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. He said, only reason we got out of the truck and went hunting is because it was about 3 or 4 more trucks trying to get in that gate.
Oh,
He said it was worse than any public land nightmare you've seen. He said, so we just jumped. Yeah, he said, we jumped out the truck and just took off walking. He said, we got halfway down that pasture and just set up. He said, we just kind of got lucky and killed these two. That's it. Right. He said, I'm never going back. He said, I don't know who all this man has told can park at that gate and go turkey hunting. He said, but somebody's going to end up in a fist fight or shot down here.
So we've
steered clear of that place from then on. We went and hunted it one morning just for the fun of it. But, I don't know. You know, that's kind of what Rock and I were talking about. If somebody says, yeah, you can go hunt on my place, I look for something. I'll take them a ham at Thanksgiving. I don't care. I'm going to do something so I have a little bit of a leg up on, you know. Yeah, but.
Country boy leases, I know. And I don't drink or smoke. And when I walked in the store, I done bought a 12-pack and 2 6-packs this week. And they said, this is a store across the road from my house. They said, Dave, now I know you was going through a rough time back last year. He's like, you ain't gonna start drinking. I said, no, I said, it's turkey season, paying land lease.
Yeah.
You just ain't got it. If you ain't got the money to give. You can't give certain people $20 cash, but they'll take, like you said, a ham or a 12-pack or whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. My boy killed one Saturday. And he tickled to death when he shot him a country mile, too. 72 steps is what he killed that turkey at. And,
gracious.
I can't see good. And I can't judge distance good. I thought it was like 40, 45. I was like, oh, yeah, man. Just shoot. Shoot. Man, I kept it going. I ride that pole and put the guy to the bird. And he was following me. And we turned around. I said, where was your chair at? We couldn't even see back through the wood. I don't know how he even hit it. So I made him go back and find the chair. He gets back to the chair and he's hollering something. So far I couldn't even tell what he was saying. I said, well, just hold up, I'm gonna count steps. I come back, it was 72 steps. And of course a lot of my buddies are like, why'd you let him shoot that far? For two reasons. I didn't know it was that far, and we shoot that apex, man. So that's all gonna knock him off the neighbor's land, you know. So we didn't know. Look, I didn't know it was that far.
I've done that before. You get slumped down next to a tree or something like that, and you shoot, and you know, and I did. I never the first turkey I ever missed. I was young, but I did that. I shot. I said, "Crap! How'd I miss that turkey?" And then I stood up and I went, "Oh, he was way out there."
It's all that head turn red. That head will turn red and change color. And when it turns red, it's like it just kind of comes to you, like he just drew in some. And I said, shoot. So we broke him down. We got out there, shot him in the head, broke his feet. We had to win.
Man. Well, that's good. I'm glad he killed one. I didn't know he had killed one. So that's good.
Yeah.
I believe that's the case. A turkey magnification. When that head turns red, it's like me in Montana.
Yeah.
If you would have I shot at a Miriam in Montana, and there's Cross Creek in the lady's backyard. But anyway, you could have told me I thought it was 40 steps. Yeah. Ended up being like 68.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out well for me because the guy just let me have his gun. It had a modified choke in it. So it didn't work out for me well, but anyway. that's true. I think that there's an effect in turkey hunting where when that head gets red and you know they're out there strutting, it looks a lot closer, 20 to 30 yards closer.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything, man. If your head swells, it just looks a lot bigger. So you just got. You know, when
that did not come out right.
I meant like getting punched in the head.
So,
anyway.
Oh, man.
Anything that covers on you, it just draws you in, makes you think, you know, he's closer than who it was.
So yeah, that is
not
true,
though. With y'all.
Yeah. Can't deal with y'all. Oh, man. That's what I was about to ask. What's coming? What's fixing to happen?
Well, I'm trying to get to Florida this week. Oh, if I can get down there, I'm going to hunt down there. I wanted to hunt last weekend, but I didn't have anybody for my son for Sunday, so I canceled the trip, and then I'm going to be I'll hopefully be down there this week and hit Florida, and then
hitchhiking.
Well, I might. I'm at least, I got enough gas money to get me to Tallahassee, so I can get into Florida. I can worry about the rest of the trip.
Have you ever seen Rocky's infamous picture with his Florida turkey?
Was it at Disney World?
Yeah, he took it to the gate.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to do that last year. I was about 30, about 40 minutes from Disney World last year. And I killed two turkeys down there. And I wanted to take one of them down there, but them turkeys whooped me so bad I was too tired to drive the day I killed them. I'm gonna be down there by Daytona this time. I'm gonna hit the beach.
Oh yeah, and then you gonna come up? You gonna hunt your way back home, or you?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to hit. When I get back home, I think some guys want to go to Texas, and then I'm hunting that Whitetail Heavens Outfitters Challenge this year in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
They hooked me up with a spot, and then they raffled off a spot to be my partner. So, we made a decent amount of money off the raffle, and then I'm gonna get to hunt it twice. So, which if I kill
my limit, that's a in that deal, yeah. In that deal, if I'm right, now correct me if I'm wrong, but you hunt two or three states in that little deal, don't you? Isn't it?
That's right. Yeah,
it's Kentucky Kentucky, Ohio, something. I can't. I'm trying to think.
In Indiana.
In Indiana. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a cool deal.
I'm hoping. Hope it works out. I went up there during deer season last year, so and we kind of promoted it and did all that, just to. Like I said, I just want to kill a turkey. I mean, I don't really care if I win, but it'd be super awesome if, I won first place. So
yeah, isn't that true? So
I mean, I'll
you just
30,
tell everybody the wrong dates. You be the only person up here hunting.
That's right. I'm gonna bring my turkey. I'm gonna bring my turkey.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, already packaged. Just water ball.
Yeah. Look at here.
But I'm gonna get to hunt that twice. So the second time, if I kill my birds in Kentucky, the first time I'll just go up to Ohio or wherever the draw.
Yeah.
Ends up for me, but other than that, we'll have a good time with that. Hopefully, I can win a little cash. And then I think, like I said, we want to hit Texas. I got some friends in Tennessee. We may go hunt with Houndstooth and them, get the whole group together, and just go up there and hunt. I don't know. Half turkeys, we'll travel. It's just high rent, low income around here, man. So we're trying to figure it all out. I don't get my turkey call checked after turkey season, so.
Well, yeah, that'll be fun. That's some good states to hunt too. I've hunted a few of them. That'll be some fun traveling around like that.
That's right.
Hey, y'all, before we let you go, the hogs, man, that is. Mm.
I tell you what, that's where the money's at.
Is that just around you that you're trapping all these hogs?
Yeah, that's all Clay County, just in one area. And I just started trapping for the Scruggs people. Up in Tupelo area, and I just caught a group for them, so I'm gonna start trapping for them. But I mainly just trap for these big landowners here in my town. I trap for my buddies too, but they don't like to pay, so all they want to do is eat crawfish and drink beer. And I'm like, I can only eat so many crawfish, dude. But y'all wearing me out catching hogs.
And I guess some work that goes into that. That's some real work that goes into it. Yeah.
Yeah, I about got my boy figured out. He can almost do it by himself. So I got another trap coming. It's called the Big Pig Trap. It's a smaller frame trap than what I got, but the same system. And I'm going to be working with those guys as well and then kind of help them out, but at the same time, it's helping me out, you know what I mean? So, but it relates to what I do. And I'll have two or three traps running the town. Then I can boom.
Yeah. Y'all, are you dropping a lot of those pigs off to families around town?
What I do is, this time of year, which is still spring, but in the wintertime, I load them all up on my trailer, and I put a sign at the end of the road, because I live way out in the county, and put free. And I'll come home, and all the pigs will be gone, or I'll go to work. If it's going to be warm, I'll take them to work. We'll get the word out, and they'll come pick them up from work. And then what doesn't get picked up by lunchtime at my work, then I just take them to the jail. And they take them by 10 o'clock. I mean, if it's summertime, I mean, they go straight to the jail because they're taking them right then. But, like I said, our jail, those folks in jail, we ain't got no harsh criminals, man. We just got people that like to drink a little bit, maybe knock the spouse over the head a few times. They just can't get right. You know what I mean? They ain't just,
can't get right.
They just can't get right, man. They ain't got no harsh criminals. So, we feed them good, but and then Of course, I did all the Sportsman's Guide commercials this year, so I got a lot of processing equipment and stuff. So we're gonna process some of our own, and then we can freeze that sausage or that meat, and then we can give it out to the community that way. Because a lot of people just can't handle the haul itself, but you can go take them, you know.
Five, you can take them to meat. That's right.
Yeah. But I'm gonna have somebody else take it just in case they get sick. They can't come back and get me.
I'll tell you this, man. Fresh wild hog sausage is some of the best sausage in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Some of the best sausage you will ever eat.
But I caught 400. I think right at 400 last year, and we've already probably.
That's what I was about to ask you.
And as far as waste, I mean, I think I only dumped like 15 hogs out of that whole year, and that's like over the 250 to 300 range. I mean, we can't get them in the trunk of some people's car. And if we get them in there, they can't get them out. So that's really the main reason. They just can't do anything with them.
Y'all, do you know the thing about it is people don't understand how fast hogs breed. I mean, they can have 3 litters a year, anywhere from 8 to 15 a litter.
Yeah.
And then those are starting to have litters. And then those are starting to have litters. So the multiplication process in a hog is unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they breed more than I did last year.
I mean, when you say 400, man, that's a drop in the bucket in the reproduction process of these wild hogs.
Sounds like a big number, but it's, you know, it's...
No, it ain't.
It's not. They can hit 400 quick, you know.
I got a buddy that caught this as many. But we just had... It's got all these game rules now. We're trying to work with the wildlife fisheries. Trying to make sure I don't get a ticket for because you gotta on these hogs you gotta pre-bait. Well, you can't put corn on the ground. You gotta be permitted. It's so much that goes into it, and trying to make sure the only thing that helps me is social media wise, everybody knows what I'm doing. So they know I'm not out here piling corn or trying to feed. And then you get the CWD areas, and it's just trying to do right the best you can, but catch the hogs. You know, because the last thing I want to do is have a problem with the wildlife fisheries. Over trying to do something right, over trying to help a cause, you know, because if you get that guy that wants to wear the t-shirt, you know, I caught the yelp. Well, you know, when you see a man struggle, you don't know how he'll react. But then you mess around and get mad, and you just think, you know, I done blasted the wildlife and fisheries, and make you know what I mean. And I don't want to do that, you know. I just try to do right as best I can, and stuff like that. Going by the laws, because I'm telling you, they watching everything. A fella called me the other day. Let me tell you something. A fella called me the other day and said, did you kill that bird in Clay County? I said, well, my boy did. He said, but don't you hunt here? I said, yeah. He said, well, that's Monroe County. He's like, you reported it in Clay County. I said, well, I said, that's right there on the line. I said, it's one or the other. You know, he said, well, I just don't want you to get in trouble. I was like, well, why are you keeping up with it?
It ain't your dead turkey. Your problem.
But anyway, then come find out, we pulled up on a land guide or whatever. It's in Clay County. But I'm like, it's just one of those. Like you go down the road, and the left side of the road is Clay County, and the right side of the road is Monroe. It's one of those issues. I was like, man, if I catch an issue like that, it's gonna be an issue. It's gonna be one. But people are watching, and that was a friend of mine. So, if your friend is watching for you, just imagine your haters is watching. You know, so I had to do everything right. That's the biggest thing, man. I can't, you know, I got a feed company that supplies me with feed. I try to give them a little support because I like to feed deer, but you got to do it right. You know, and
you got to be careful with it.
Land on lease.
Yeah, you know, y'all. I want to say this to both y'all. You know, if I ever faulted the federal Department of Interior when it pertaining to refuges, two things I would fault them with. One is the expansion of wild hogs on all these federal refuges and alligators. They protected alligators too long, and now they are out of control.
Yeah, I ain't studying no alligator. I don't care. I don't watch too much Swamp People. Because worry about getting in the water. If you can't see your feet in the water, they ain't no need in getting in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bath water.
That's the truth. Firm believer in that.
Tell you, man, you don't just go jump in the water, man. The water too warm around here. They'll be living in it.
I'm worried about something going up my pee hole.
Yeah, I ain't worried. Yeah. Well, they're going to have to be real small. You know what I mean? So.
only you could come back on that.
I know you're busy, but we always look forward to this one. Having you on here with us every year, and we need to keep up. And midway through season, when you bouncing all around and we're killing turkeys.
That's right.
Get you back on here. And we'll get you on here with the Houndstooth guys or whoever you're with. It don't matter. Yeah. It's a lot of fun when we do stuff like that. Get two or three people on here together like that. It's a lot of fun. So, we look forward to it.
That's right. Hey, guys, anybody that's out there listening, you hunt the way you want to, as long as it's legal. You shoot with shells you want to. You call what's called you want to. You wear what's camouflaged you want to. We're all in this together. Don't let some goober like me think that you're supposed to hunt this way or not hunt this way or think because I'm a goober with a guy, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we need to be all on the same team. Because if we don't, we're going to turn against one another. Ain't nobody going to be able to turkey hunt around here or hunt, period. So I just hope to bring a little positivity to the sport of turkey hunting and hope we have a good time. And to any of y'all females out there, I'm single. Goober with a guy.
I think that the best conclusion we've ever had to a show, ever.
Y'all,
thank you again, Josh. I really enjoyed it. I want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.